The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
We're here in Columbia. This is Columbia Calling. I am Richard McCall, your host. Coming up on today's show, Columbia Calling, we're talking property. We interview a specialist in the property market here, a real estate expert with his own company, Sam Miller of Columbia International. We talk about what to expect when you're thinking of investing in Columbia. Is there a property bubble here in Columbia? The prices are high, but the investment returns seem to be good. We talked to Sam, and he clarifies some of the myths and mystique about investing in Colombia. We talk Cartagena, we talk Medellin and Bogota. So if you're thinking about investing, if you're bringing over money, listen to this show. It's a must hear for those people interested in the property market in Colombia. As always, talking about everything Colombia here on Columbia Calling with me, your host, Richard McCormick.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
The U.S. government has spoken. It wants higher tax rates, capital controls to keep your money under their control, surveillance to spy on your every email. In short, the government wants to control every aspect of your life and make you their slave. As an internationally minded person, you know keeping everything you own in one country could be disastrous. But how do you get started? Announcing Passport to Freedom. In just 3 days, you'll learn how to escape high taxes and reduce or eliminate your tax burden. How to form an offshore corporation or trust. The best places to get a second passport. The best places to expatriate and more. This 3-day event will reveal everything you need to know about keeping yourself and your assets safe. Tickets to this event in fabulous Las Vegas are extremely limited, so go to PassportOverseas.com. That's PassportOverseas.com. Seats are extremely limited, so register today and take advantage of a special 50% discount for overseas radio listeners. Don't miss this chance to see offshore and expat experts like Joel Nagel, Bobby Casey, Jake DeSillis, Pete Sisko, Andrew Henderson, and more. Go to OverseasPassport.com now and reserve your ticket before the government shuts this opportunity down.
From China's Great Wall to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, this is the Overseas Radio Network.
Va subiendo la corriente.
Signing in from Bogota, this is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall, and we're talking Columbia. This week's show is very special to those people interested in the real estate business here in Columbia. We're talking to Sam Miller later in the show of Columbia International. That's columbiainternational.co if you want to look up the website and see what's on offer and what Sam's selling out there on the property market. Property is big business everywhere, but it's even bigger business at the moment here in Colombia, and we're in a boom. Some have said it's like a bubble, but Sam is here to refute these claims, and we're going to be talking all about the real estate industry here. And of course, it's not a straightforward practice going about buying a house. I've bought a couple of colonial houses in Mombos, and we'll talk about that, and it was not straightforward. It was certainly more complex than I had expected. It's not about handing over the money. It's all about the paperwork. Yes, we're in Latin America. Paperwork. Paperwork is everywhere. So anyway, before we launch into that a bit later on, we'll talk a little bit about Colombia and what's been going on. And what can I say? Well, the most interesting news at the moment is that Oscar Iván Zuluaga has won enough votes to be elected to represent his party, which is actually Álvaro Uribe, that's the former president, Álvaro Uribe's party, which is the Centro Democratic, or the Democratic Center. Anyway, so yes, Oscar Iván Zuluaga has been elected with 56% of the votes to represent that party in the presidential elections next year. That will happen in November next year, but of course we're gearing up and I guess the mudslinging will begin soon, so very exciting. So that's the Uribista vote, the right wing, hard right wing, I would mention. But if that's your thing, that's fine. Anyway, so yes, that's the hard right wing, is Oscar Iván Azuluaga. And this man has studied everywhere. He's an economist from the Javeriana University. It's actually the university in which I'm studying at the moment, and conflict resolutions. It's a well-heeled university here in a very nice part of town, and you don't expect political presidential candidates to have been educated there. And also, interestingly enough, we have another thing in common, that Zuluaga studied at the University of Exeter in the southwest of England, that's Devon, and that's where I did my undergrad. So I don't know, maybe I can get him on the show by pulling some strings as being the Exeter alumni representative here in Colombia. Not that it's really brought me much, or that I'm doing much about being the alumni representative, but anyway, if perhaps I decide to create a soiree as a representative for all Exeter grads in Colombia, maybe Zuluaga would come along. That would be pretty amusing. He could bring his chums Santos and Uribe. Yeah, well, we'll see about that. Anyway, he's also studied at, I think, at UPenn in the United States, and I haven't studied there. But anyway, so that's sort of really the first person to be in line for the presidential elections of next year. We're still waiting on whether President Juan Manuel Santos is going to run or not. And given the way that he's run his administration, we won't know until the very last minute. And of course, he's currently neck deep in, well, he's not in the negotiations with the FARC in Havana, but it is his policy and his team out there. And so until, I guess he's waiting until the 25th. The 25th is a cutoff point, the 25th of November. I guess he's waiting to the last possible minute to see if there might be any success. There might be any possible success with these peace dialogues with the FARC in Havana, Cuba. And if there are, then I assume that he'll launch his re-election bid. But of course, I mean, we've mentioned on this show before, and we've had Kevin Howlett of Colombia Politics. And if you want to read up to date a political debate about Colombia, look up colombia-politics.com. Kevin's been on the show twice. Anyway, we're talking about it, and you know, it's very possible that Juan Manuel Santos could win. Well, could win, not could actually achieve some sort of lasting peace or some sort of agreement with the FARC guerrillas, but then lose the elections. His popularity at the moment is down to 21%. I mean, that's pretty low in any which way you look at it. I mean, it's a bit of a technocrat and representing the elites here in Colombia. So it just seems that he's very out of touch with the country. On that point, I wrote an editorial for the city paper. That's the Bogota, or the Colombia, really, but the Bogota English language monthly newspaper. It's called the City Paper. You can see it online. It's www.thecitypaperbogota.com. It's the best Anglo paper here. And it's been running for several years now. We've had Richard Emblin, the editor, on, and that was a great show some months ago. Check it out on iTunes. You know, log in and look out. He was very open, very fluid. It was a great interview. Anyway, Richard has kindly offered me a column, a monthly column on there. So there's now a Columbia Calling column. That's an alliteration there for you. Or a Columbia Calling editorial once a month in the city paper. Check it out online at the website I said, or I'll repeat, www.thecitypaperbogota.com. And you'll see my one. It's about Santos, and I will not tell you anymore. You'll have to check it out online. Send me your comments. Get to my website, richardmccall.com. Send me your comments, what you think, and I'd love to hear the feedback, because obviously you'll influence the next editorial if there's interesting feedback. And so, you know, we wait and we'll see. And hopefully it's a great success, and this new direction of the newspaper, which is, I've been informed by Richard Emblin, that he wishes to push it into a more sort of editorial fashion for people who've been here for a while. So very exciting times, and I'm very flattered and honoured to have been offered this column once a month. So look out for it, because I'm diligent, and I will promise to write interesting and engaging and thought-provoking pieces. So yes, that's about that. And what else can I say? Well, I've been stumbling across some investigations. You know, for those of you who follow my blog, there's something on there called the Mompos Project, which is it's a novel I'm trying to write about my experiences in Colombia, but more than anything in Mompos. I was investigating German immigrants to the coastal area, the Caribbean area, and I found who owned the finca, the hacienda of La Esmeralda. It's a huge cattle farm. Anyway, I was able to find all of his background, and basically this man, and I can't pronounce his name, Titian, was the forefather of cattle farming in Colombia, and he lived in, and he's in the cemetery in Mombos, and so that was a big investigation for me this week, and a real breakthrough to find anything about this gentleman. So anyway, interesting times, as always, in Colombia. The politics doesn't stop. We're, very aware that there are elections next year and everyone's gearing up for it. But I'm a little bit worried about that sort of laconic, seen it all before attitude going on at the moment here in Colombia. But that's principally because we've got President Juan Manuel Santos, who's very afraid that his tenure will be defined by almost making decisions. Not taking the initiative, but almost making decisions. But anyway, so... that's about it. But I wanted to say that we'll be signing back in the next segment with Sam Miller. Sam is half American, half Canadian chap who's opened up his own real estate business here, and he's doing a thriving business in Bogota. And so he's the man to go to. He's the man to go to if you're looking at investing in Colombia. So for any people interested in the property market and real estate in Colombia, please don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Colombia Calling, and I'm Richard Mahal.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
It is said that liberty is the only thing you cannot have unless you are willing to give it to others. Do you believe in and want to spread the message of liberty to a younger generation around the world? The Language of Liberty Institute does just that, with camps in developing countries such as Albania, Nigeria, Armenia, and Mozambique. If you want to learn more about this powerful and growing initiative, to sponsor, attend, or even become one of the teachers, visit our website at languageofliberty.org to learn more. You can subscribe to email updates or like our Facebook page to follow our activities.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
This tree was never chopped down because this crutch never needed to be carved. Because these legs never grew weak. Because this child never got polio. Over the past 20 years, Rotary Club members have helped immunize over 2 billion children against polio. Now we are on the brink of eradicating this crippling disease once and for all. But we need your help. Thanks to an historic matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to make sure vaccines reach the people who need it, to protect the children of the world against polio forever. This is an opportunity to end polio now. Visit rotary.org/endpolio. Rotary, humanity in motion.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
This is Colombia Calling. I'm Richard McCall, and we're here with Sam Miller. Sam is a US-Canadian, sort of quasi-Australian, but he's here in Bogota. He's been in Colombia since 2008, and he's a real estate agent. His company is Colombia International, and you can look that up on his website. It's colombiainternational.co. And we're going to talk all about the property market and what there is to know and what there is to see, and any up-and-coming areas and any sort of bureaucratic nightmares that people might encounter if they're thinking of investing in Colombia. Sam, welcome.
Thanks a lot, Richard.
Well, now, you came to Colombia in 2008 on your motorcycle, and you were traveling through, and I mean, you come from a background of property and real estate and so on and so forth, but you saw an opportunity here.
Yeah, when I first arrived here, it was never my plan to stay here, but I fell in love with the country. I saw the potential that it had, so I thought, you know, first step is get an apartment. That opened up a big can of worms in terms of finding someone who could help me in English, because my Spanish was still basic at the time. And then, you know, finding an agent that was kind of prepared to assist foreigners. And it was really difficult. Even the big names, you know, like the Century 21, the Remax, they didn't have the bilingual agents. They didn't have kind of the infrastructure set up to help people without a credit history here, mm-hmm. without a Colombian co-signer, without those kind of roadblocks. So I kind of saw that like very early on and kind of paid attention to the market. And it wasn't long before I kind of found another Colombian partner who had the same vision, and you know, we decided to set up Colombia International.
That's excellent. And what's interesting, as I, you know, I've been here since 2007. I've been coming previously to that. And I always notice that, you know, when we look around, when we walk around the streets, people are putting up the signs in their windows. They're not going through agents massively. And honestly, with the bureaucratic nightmares that there are here, it would be easier to have someone else do all that legwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the thing is that you don't need a license to do real estate here. So that means that a lot of Colombian families, they have a cousin who's sold a property before. So he is their default kind of property guy.
Okay.
So he's been through the process, and he'll kind of walk them through that. It is not the best way to do it. Having someone as an independent kind of mediator in between the both parties definitely kind of benefits both of them.
Yeah, I think it's very important, especially when you're coming to a foreign country. Perhaps you'd, like you say, you don't understand the language as well as you might, or the legal technicalities. But I think what you found a niche. Because of course foreigners are buying, and I'm sure Colombians go through you too, and you know, I've looked at a few websites, and over time I've looked at but it didn't really exist, the notion of a company with a website advertising let's say properties was limited to one or two businesses. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you've come in. There are a couple of let's say foreign companies now, but I mean, yours is the one that stands out. Colombia International. It's got this name, so this is very positive. But who's buying?
People who are buying. We've had a lot of clients who have come from the United States, from Canada, from United Kingdom. They've discovered Colombia through maybe a spouse, through maybe a recent trip, through maybe a relative that's gone traveling there. They've heard things about it. And they're people who are generally more open-minded because of this reputation, which is still, you know, very, very old. The people who are kind of more kind of adventurous and, you know, willing mm-hmm. to kind of explore new areas, they're the ones who are coming here and deciding that, you know, they could set up a life here and they could kind of see a good potential for their future.
And the type of property that are foreigners coming in and buying, is it limited to any style, like condominiums or houses or refurbs or?
Yeah, there's a couple different profiles. I mean, around Colombia in general, and then in Bogota specifically, we can operate all over Colombia, but in particular in Bogota, our most common kind of clients are usually an American male, a Colombian wife who have come. He's got a job here maybe, and she is in a multinational company. So they look for something that's close to the schools, the bilingual schools in the north, or maybe Nueva Granada in Chapinero. So they want something in the safer areas, you know, in the presupposed safe areas anyway. So the north, you've got Cedritos, that's kind of a popular one. Mm-hmm. And then you've got a kind of a younger generation which is coming in who enjoy the kind of vibrancy of Bogota and the quirkiness of it, and they prefer being closer to the action in Chapinero, something a bit more lively.
Yeah. Now, we talked a little, okay, so you've talked a little bit about Bogota, and we'll come back to Bogota, but I've noticed on your website you have multiple properties in Cartagena and Medellin.
Sure.
And Medellin's very popular, right?
Yes. Yeah, Medellin, because of the more, the warmer weather and the more stable kind of spring-like weather like that, it's attracting a lot of kind of not quite retirees, but the, you know, between 40 to 60 years old, there's a kind of huge boom in those kind of buyers who are looking for a decently, a reasonably affordable kind of place, luxury place to stay, you know, Poblado, something like that. Yeah, so I mean, there's people who are looking for that more kind of relaxed lifestyle.
Yeah, and so, you know, again, like a more accommodating climate in Medellin than that of Bogota, of course, not as hectic perhaps as Cartagena, but Medellin's got a sort of a more international feel to it as well. But, I mean, it's very sort of, it's got a North American appeal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely kind of making, it's one of the easier cities to enter in as someone, you know, who hasn't been to Colombia before. It's very kind of accepting of foreigners in that sense that it's well catered for them.
That's right, well catered.
Yeah.
But while we're on Medellin, I'm going to quickly touch on something that I talked about a couple of weeks ago, and it's the collapse of the building, the Space Building. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, so this is a new development. Those of you who listen to the show will know about it. Those who read the news will have seen it. It was this new building of sort of six towers in an arc of two different buildings.
Sure.
It? And it collapsed.
And it won an award.
So this is obviously worrying, and this is going to be, you know, and it's going to have a knock-on effect on people thinking of buying. They're going to be like, well, we need a proper, you know, review, and we need a study of our buildings.
Yeah. I mean, that's always been an issue. You can kind of see in some of the older construction in all around Colombia that, you know, the regulations haven't been up to spec as we would expect in other Western countries. It is improving as the kind of construction companies get more experienced and they have more projects under their belt. You can see that they are, you know, paying a bit more attention to detail.
Uh-huh.
In the past, it's been a lot about just get it like pumping out the apartments. But now you can see in terms of the layouts, they're definitely improving. And then, you know, for the building specs, there's more regulations coming in each day. But I mean, in terms of Bogota with the new pot, I think we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah.
You know, it's an ongoing process.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we talk about it. I mean, Medellin, they always make an issue of El Poblado, which is a very desirable part of the city in which to live. It's on the side of the mountain, sort of going up. It is geographically not too stable. I'm not going to say unstable, and geologists have always stated it, but this building collapsed not due to the geographical instability, but because of, I would say, well, it was a phrase I read it once in Russian, but it was called national slovenliness. But basically, they just cut corners everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't a geographical thing. If we're here in Bogota, for example, you can go down to the Zona T, which is like a nice area where lots of bars and restaurants and stuff. You can see buildings that are sinking, because Bogota's built on a lot of sort of marshy wetlands. And, you know, they have to think about these things. And a lot of the main streets are clearly built on what were rivers. You know, so this is where you come in. you have to specify and tell your clients. You've got to win their trust.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you have, because of these lack of regulations, you've got all sorts of people coming into the property game, and they've got a friend who's an architect, they've got a friend who's in a construction company. Hey, let's put together a project.
Yeah.
So you get some put some people who have the money to do, you know, very large projects, and they can at least market it, you know, so it's as a 5-star property. But it's still, you know, they're still cutting corners. They might not have the experience as a different kind of more veteran construction and design company, and that's where a lot of the problems have come from.
Yeah, well, you know, things are improving, and I can see. I mean, there's building all over from where we sit now, overlooking the Carrera Séptima, one of the main thoroughfares in Bogota. The buildings are being thrown up all around, and we'll come back to who's buying them in a second. So don't go away, folks. We're talking property with Sam Miller, a young man here with his own company called Columbia International. That can be looked up at columbiainternational.co. This is Columbia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network, and I'm Richard McCall. We'll be right back.
bla bla.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. For the jet-setting beach bum, a problem eventually arises. Where do you go in the world for a new beach fix after your travels have taken you to the usual sandy spots around the world? Well, that's an easy one. It's time to get experimental. Everyone and their brother has hit the tropical white sand beaches, encircled with swaying palm trees and turquoise water nibbling at the shore. Are you ready for one with a twist on the theme? Check out the resort complex San Alfonso del Mar in Algarabo, Chile, for the world's largest swimming pool. This one should definitely be added to your bucket travels list. What do you do when you are a world-renowned resort located smack dab on the Pacific coast in Chile? Normally, whoop for joy that you can charge top dollar for the proximity to the ocean. But this particular stretch of ocean offers 63-degree year-round temperatures, dangerous waves, and rip currents. Ouch. Plunging nightly rates. Until some brainiac figured it would be a good idea to build the world's largest swimming pool mere feet from the ocean. Turns out, it was a good idea. This massive saltwater swimming pool remains a constant 79 degrees. No tides, sharks, or stingrays to ruin the day either. How big is big? Try half a mile long and hold 66 million gallons of water. It looks more like a lake. Add in a white sand perimeter, palm trees, and docks for sailors to ply their hobby. You heard correctly, sailing in the pool. And if you get a wild urge to experience Mother Nature's version of water, it's only a few steps to the real deal. We're betting you'll be back in the pool before long. How's that for a jolt to your usual beach travels? For more, visit jetsettershow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall, and we're talking property in Colombia with a property expert, Sam Miller. He's the owner of a company called Columbia International. You can look that up, columbiainternational.co. You've got a whole variety of properties on offer on his website. This is a new deal, really, because Colombian companies are not known for having a great online presence, but, you know, takes a foreigner who's come here and seen the opportunity, employing Colombian staff and getting this market moving a bit. We've been talking about buying in Bogota and Medellin and the planning phases and so on. Sam, tell me a little bit about how Colombian property and how the Colombian property market compares to that of the region or of the United States.
Okay. Right now, the property market in Colombia is at a very interesting stage. In 2008, it got hit as well. The prices definitely dropped considerably. But I mean, let's go to a grander scale and look at it. You know, in the last 20 years, coming from like the Pablo Escobar era of the early 90s, we've seen huge kind of increases starting from about 2001, 2002. Property value was increasing, you know, 20-30% a year until it got slowed down by the financial crisis. But since then, I think Colombia was sheltered quite a bit with that because, you know, it has its own resources. Its economy has always been very stable. It's one of the most stable economies in South America.
Yeah.
The peso is strong and it's performed very well as well. So, you know, the prices since 2008 have recovered as well. Right now, I'd say, speaking of Bogota, I'd say the prices are high. Prices are quite they've increased mainly because you have a city of 9 million people who in general want to live in the northern part of the city, you know, from maybe Calle 55 in Chapinero up to 150 in Cedritos, maybe a bit further north. But in general, people want to be around, you know, the Chico, the Rosales. So you've got a very small, area where a lot of people want to live. I think we did the numbers, about 200,000 kind of properties that were available in this kind of section that people see as, you know, the nice part of Bogota to live, and everyone wants to live there. So the prices have, you know, in the most exclusive areas, they're up to $6,000-$7,000 per square meter, which, you know, compares to Manhattan or Miami in some parts.
It's a terrifying prospect.
Yeah, and so that's kind of led a lot of people to say, you know, it's a bubble. It's something that, it's going out of control. But I don't think comparing it to another city is the best way to see if there is a bubble or not. In a bubble, the danger signs are buying. There's a fever for profits. People are buying it in 1 year and selling it the next year for 20-30% gains, or even more in some cases. That isn't happening. That was very close to happening. I think around the same time the housing bubble in the U.S. collapsed. People were buying it, and so you still have quite a few Colombians who have that mentality. They haven't been in the real estate market. They just have one property, but they've heard about all these gains that everyone else has been getting over the past 10 years, so they expect to get the same. So in my position, when we're approached by Colombian owners who have a property here, a lot of the time I have to kind of manage their expectations. And sometimes their expectations they have an asking price which is absurd, and I have to be honest and tell them that if they're wanting to get that price, they're going to have to wait quite a bit for that.
But I mean, when we talk about these really expensive per square meter and like Rosales, they're also tiny apartments too. The people are trying to get more, fit more apartments in, get that. So they, but of course, you can't compare it with other cities, because if we make comparisons with other cities, like you were saying, like in New York or in Miami or various sections of London, well, it's not the same, because you're not being catered for at the same level of service either. I mean, so it's but why is it so expensive?
All right. So the reason it's so expensive, in my opinion, is that the supply, basic supply and demand. You've got a very small amount. If you ask, there's 80% of people in Bogota live in stratas 1, 2, 1, 2. So you've got you've got about 3 million people who want to live in this very small part of Bogota, and I don't see that demand going away. They're not going to, there might be new areas that are going to become like in vogue and more popular throughout the times, but these kind of areas, these Chico, Rosales, they're always going to be the center of the upper class center of Bogota.
I've got to jump in, because if some people don't know the strato system, they grade the system here as to what your, let's say, your public services cost, depending on on sort of almost an income, almost a, it's a social stratification of the of the property system. But then this is something I think that the mayor wants to get rid of. Would that benefit, or what would you think? Because we're in Strato 3 right here. When I lived in the Candelaria, which is the historic downtown center, we were living in Strato 1, so of course we're supposed to be a low-income family. I was getting phone calls from insurance agents offering me $1 million if I was killed and I needed a funeral. $1 million is more or less $500 in insurance. So it grades it differently. But if they were to do away with the strato system, what would you see in a sort of the evolution of the property market in Bogota?
I think with the recent kind of pot which the current mayor Petro has put in, I think it might be a good time to talk about that which is basically the new plan, the new urban plan for the city. And he's, instead of expanding the city outwards, the plan will be to build upwards.
Right.
He wants to be like other major cities, which have higher buildings and more densified kind of urban living areas. So the new part has basically not restricted, but it's put on quite a bit of taxes. So let's say north of Kajaysien, and then in the northern half of the city, the most kind of popular suburban areas of Bogota. If you have a lot, there's now 30% of the lot that must be left for green zones or for VIP, which is the vivienda VIP. I can't remember the name of that. It's for lower income housing, basically.
Okay.
So that's if you decide not to have that, you have to pay taxes to allow yourself to build on that. So it's generating huge amounts of money for the district in that sense, which is supposed to be going towards lower income housing in other areas of the city. Whether that happens or not, we'll see. So the idea is that, you know, south of Kajaysien, that you can now build up. There's more kind of looser restrictions, and you can kind of densify the city a bit more in the inside. The problem is that some people in the higher stratas are have the potential that there could be a lower strata building
next door,
next to them. Yeah.
So you can see the issue with that when you look at cities like London, for example. And you've got the council estates from the 1970s alongside some of the highest cost areas of Chelsea or Fulham, for example. And it's always been the source of great sort of social divides and certain areas violence, you know, because it's such a clash. But well, I don't know. It's interesting to see this POT, the new pot, how it's going to pan out, what we can expect from it, but. Don't you just think it's another whole bunch of paperwork that the government's putting forward here?
Oh, absolutely. The construction industry right now is very frustrated. The Chamber of Constructors here are very upset with it. I mean, it started because he put through the plan illegally. He proposed it was denied, and now they're calling it abuse of power the way he's put it in. That he's in a bunch of legal problems and the pot could be removed at any time. But in the meantime, while it is active, whether it's viable or not, it is active right now, and the information is a mess. We had a lot available in Chico, and usually it takes an hour to kind of do a profitability study on that. It now took us a week for our architecture kind of contacts to figure out, you know, okay, where can they build, how high can they build, what percentage do they have to leave there. Instead of going to the website, which was previously there, they could kind of zoom in on each lot and figure out, you know, what they can do. Now they have to go into their law books and dig through, and so it's taking a long time for this to happen. It's thrown into turmoil.
Colombian love of bureaucracy and paperwork. If you can't rubber stamp something 15 times, and it's not. So it doesn't. I mean, you know, there may well be good ideas out of this pot, this POT. There may well be positive outcomes for the future, but at the moment, it's all in a state of chaos.
Yes.
All right. So watch this space. I mean, when we know what's going on.
I don't think it's a bad thing for the city. Like, I can see his vision. In the past, the construction companies have been able, it's a Wild West. They can find a lot of what they want. Cedrito is right now one of the most popular areas. The Blackwater plumbing in that suburb is full. They've reached their limit. It was designed to have houses on each lot. Now every house has 20 apartments, so you've got huge amounts of black water that needs to be kind of filtered out. And so they've had to kind of halt all the development in the north because of that, which is which has huge consequences for the prices. The prices could continue to
climb. I mean, when you've got a finite amount of properties in a place that people want to live in, so you've got this. Exactly. They've knocked down the traditional houses. They put up these multi-story apartments, and also they've put in like two-story of parking, in the basements as well. And so the roads aren't of the capacity to cater to so much traffic.
Yeah.
So we're saying, anyway, this is Bogota, and Bogota is a special case with all of its issues, and with the mayor, who is incredibly divisive. But don't go away. You're listening to Columbia Calling. I'm here with Sam Miller, an expert in the property market here, and we're going to talk a bit more about Columbia's property in the last segment of this show. Thank you.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
You've decided that you want to move overseas for that quality of life experience you've always dreamed of. But you don't want to give up the best of back home. We agree. Things like high-speed internet, safe neighborhoods where you can stroll along a shaded sidewalk, a place where you know your neighbors and you have friends close by. These are important. Grand Pacifica Beach and Golf Resort gives you the best comforts of back home paired with the exceptional lifestyle only available south of the border. Imagine strolling along over 3 miles of secluded beach, playing around a golf along the ocean, surfing a world-class break all the year yourself, enjoying a fine meal on your balcony and toasting to another spectacular sunset. All this and more can be yours only an hour from Managua. Complete home and lot packages start under $100,000, and a nice home on the golf course is yours for the mid-twos. Come visit for a weekend and enjoy our oceanside golf course. Ride horseback on the beach, meet your future neighbors, and make some new friends. Grand Pacifica may be a place you'd like to call home. For more information, email Mike at MikesGringoLife.com. That's Mike at MikesGringoLife.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control health care, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable health care, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.JustLanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's JustLanded.com.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall. We're talking to Sam Miller. That's Sam Miller of ColumbiaInternational.co. If you're thinking of coming and buying, investing in Columbia, we really strongly recommend you get a middleman, you get a real estate expert who knows what he's doing and he understands the local market. So we've been talking about that in the last 2 segments. What we haven't talked about, we've talked a bit about the chaos in Bogota. It's an easy topic because it is pretty chaotic, although it's a pretty cool place to live. But Cartagena, I mean, everybody loves Cartagena. Finite number of colonial houses selling for millions. Do you do a lot of business up there with foreigners?
Yeah, absolutely. Cartagena is definitely a hotspot for foreigners. And I think mainly it comes from, you know, it's the first point of entry for a lot of people. There's a lot of cruise ships that stop in there. And so Cartagena was a spawner. It was one of the first cities. I would say Cartagena, then Medellin, and now Bogota is kind of entering the international spotlight. But yeah, Cartagena was definitely the first, and the industry's definitely responded to that. I think last year they opened up 11,000 hotel rooms, you know, with all the new hotels going in, so there's been huge developments going on there.
It's interesting you say. I mean, I've got my own little place in Mompox, which is not a property hotspot. It's growing. Everything's always going to go up in Colombia, but Cartagena, and touristically, Colombia this year has not been as good as other years. And I've got friends with hotels in Cartagena, and they've said to me, we've made enough money to maintain our business. And so you open up 11,000 more rooms. It's, you know, but I don't know. What's happening in Colombia that might be affecting, or what's happening globally that might be affecting this flow of tourism or property? I don't know. I mean, Matt, you're better placed than me to say something.
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of a lower visitor count this year, I wouldn't be too sure. But okay. I think in general, it's positive for the future. I know the price is definitely a lot higher than it used to be. So in terms of finding properties to invest there, it's a bit harder. The best bet in Cartagena is new construction.
Mm-hmm.
Because some of the older construction the people who are selling those are expecting quite higher prices. Mm-hmm. So in general, you can usually find something if your game to go off plan.
Uh-huh.
From the designs.
Would you say, like in Cartagena, various regions? Obviously, the historic center in truth is just out of the question unless you've got bundles and bundles of cash. Mm-hmm. But would you say Boca Grande or in La Boquilla, out just sort of outside of the city?
Yeah, Boca Grande is good. We have a couple properties there, a couple penthouses actually.
Mm-hmm.
The property market there is a bit slower. The properties that are really selling are the new construction.
Okay.
So it depends on what you prefer. If you want to be close to the beach,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you want to be higher up, you know, there's quite a few options now in Cartagena.
Okay. Now we'll just take. I want to sort of spread the word out there that Colombia is a place to invest, and we'll talk a little bit. Can you give me sort of average price ideas? Let's say Chapinero, Bogota. So it's between sort of let's say the 50th and let's say almost the 70th, a 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment. How much would that be going for? Of average size, whatever.
Well, okay, for that we get a lot of search requests for.
Yeah.
We want to identify. You know, why are you buying the property?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to live there yourself? Do you want to remodel it and sell it? Do you want to remodel it and then furnish it? You know, that I see in that area that you just mentioned is the biggest opportunity, and
mm-hmm.
we are kind of constantly scouring that neighborhood for opportunities like that because it is a very popular option
mm-hmm.
For foreigners. They're familiar with the area. The deals are not easy to find. It is a very good place to invest, but the real deals are harder to find. People are asking a lot of money, so it comes down to finding something that is valuable, something that's in a decently not too old, but you know at least not more than kind of 30-year-old building.
Yeah.
You know, your 2-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment. Maybe, you know, the apartment's a bit run down, but it's in a nice area. It's in a decent enough building. Remodeling that, putting in nice furniture, modern appliances,
mm-hmm.
You can rent furnished, you know, 2.5 million pesos.
Okay.
So we would expect for something like that to at least get a 1.5% return on, mm-hmm. on that rental. To get into a property like that, you're looking. I mean, if we're really lucky, we can find something for maybe 80,000 US. But most likely, mm-hmm. it's going to be between 100,000 to 150,000 US for that kind of area.
Wow! So yeah, we are talking high prices, and so. But it's good to know this. It's good to get that idea out there. Colombia is not, you know, it's not a cheap place, but it's worth it. And if we were talking of El Poblado in Medellin, the most desirable area, or Laureles in Medellin, you have no idea, or
in Medellin, we work with a company there that's been established since 2006.
Uh-huh.
So we, as I do kind of in other cities, because we're small, we're growing. We create alliances with other people that we trust, that have the same vision, and that can cater to foreigners. So when people come to us and they listen, I want to go to Medellin, I'll consult them and refer them to our mm-hmm. agent in Medellin, who's there, who deals with foreigners all the time. So,
okay.
So we kind of spread ourselves out.
But it's better that way. It's better that way rather than, yeah. And okay, so we've been talking about some particular areas, and let's go back to Bogota on this one. You know, we've been talking about Chapinero, obviously, and we've been talking Cedritos up in the north, and people like Usaquén as well. It's 117th onwards sort of thing. But if you were to say, no, I want to come to Colombia, I want to come and set up in Bogota, and I want to find the next up-and-coming neighborhood, what sort of place would we be looking at?
Okay, so somewhere to live for yourself.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah.
I would definitely consider Quinta Camacho, where we are.
Quinta Camacho, okay.
Quinta Camacho is definitely good. It's outside the areas which have already been saturated,
mm-hmm.
and the prices are exorbitant. So I'd look at Quinta Camacho, Chapinero Alto.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you don't mind the more suburban lifestyle, for me, I like being close to the action. But if you like being further out, there's areas like Pontevedra, which is kind of a bit further west. You know, it's kind of in that northwestern section.
Mm-hmm.
Very
a bit more
safe,
rural.
Very open. Not, yeah, I mean, it just gets a bit too suburban for me anyway. You know, like Bogota hasn't really kind of reached its potential in terms of getting creative with their architecture.
Yeah.
So I find a lot of these newer suburbs, they're nice beehives, but they're still beehives. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So I mean, there are areas like that, and the Colombian kind of market is eating them up right now.
Yeah,
so
of course.
So we put up a rental out in Pontevedra, and we got about 20 inquiries within a week about the apartment.
It's very positive for you.
it's definitely in demand, those kind of areas.
Okay. Now, one thing that we do keep mentioning and we do keep coming back to is paperwork. Let's just go through. Okay, we'll start with rental. I'm coming to Colombia. I'm a foreigner and I want to rent an apartment. What documentation do I need?
Okay. If you're coming with a company who has established here or are being established here, that's easier because with the company you can kind of provide a bit more paperwork. Now, so you're coming in, let's assume you're coming independently. This is worst case scenario.
Like me.
So the landlord or the agent will ask you for an insurance policy. To get an insurance policy, you need to go there and show them bank accounts and a credit history.
Yes.
The thing is,
they don't have one.
you might have $1 million in your bank account back home.
Yeah. But
that's not counted in their report. So
yeah.
So chances are you're going to be denied for the insurance policy.
Yeah.
So the ways around it, the ways that we kind of negotiate, the landlords that when we take on a rental, we kind of prepare them. You know, we have foreigners. And they're trustworthy, they have money, we do background checks, we kind of get an idea of who the client is, where they're coming from, and we kind of work out ways around it. There's always a way around it. It depends on how good the roundabout is. So a common one here is a 6-month term deposit held in a bank. And if there's any problems, if there's no rental payments, they take it out of that term deposit.
Okay.
The other one is paying rent up front.
Yeah.
Sometimes paying a number of months up front. That can avoid it that way. The fear comes from a Colombian history of people coming into apartments, and the laws here do favor the tenant. So if the tenant has a child, if there's other kind of circumstances which for some reason they can't continue paying rent, it's very difficult for the landlord to get them out. So when you have kind of loopholes like that, you get people who make a free living off finding these loopholes, getting into an apartment and staying in there. Meanwhile, the landlord has to go through a process for a year in the courts to kind of get them out. Meanwhile, they're losing rental income.
Of course.
So they're quite paranoid about that. So it's kind of our job to qualify our clients and then to pass that confidence on to that person so they can be a bit more flexible in terms of the terms that they ask for.
Sure. I had to put $9 million into an insurance account.
$9 million.
So $4,500 more or less into that, which was, it's a sizable chunk of change. When you're a freelance journalist.
So we've, but when I got here, as a foreigner, even bringing in the money and there was just really no one to guide, guide us like that. So that's where we've kind of put our unique difference is that we are prepared to help foreigners bring in the money, declare as a foreign investment, which is important.
We
sometimes deal with a lot of people who haven't kind of declared it correctly, and they're going to have to deal with a lot of capital gains tax on the way out if they're going to repatriate the money. So we're kind of set up to kind of help foreigners in that situation, bring in the money, declare it as an investment, and kind of walk them through that process.
Excellent. Now I'll talk about a little bit about my personal experiences buying a place. Let's just start with the Casa Maria, my little hotel in Mompos. I had to get 38 signatures to buy the property because what happened was we had the lady who passed away 8 or 9 years ago, never married, never had children. So therefore, it never left a will. It got left to her brothers and sisters, some of whom had passed away. So their children. So you can see a whole flow chart coming out. I had to negotiate with 38 people, but one side of the family wasn't talking to the other side of the family, and so I wasn't aware of one side. I thought we were starting with only 15 people, and then suddenly, you know, a whole other side of the family appeared when they heard cash was involved. And this is a common problem, I think.
Yes, it is. I'd say in Bogota, not so much, but as you, in terms when you get outside of town, I think Bogota is kind of well developed in that sense. You know, you still get a few older properties that have that problem. One in the La Candelaria, especially people where the property has passed down a number of generations, or outside in a finca. So it's definitely something to be careful of. Definitely something that we kind of make sure that we get done correctly. We do make sure we check the history, we check the escritura, we make sure the title's clean. Because that can definitely throw a spanner in the works when you're halfway through the negotiation process. Maybe you've already put down the deposit, and then it's like, you know, time to get a fresh certificado de libertad, basically the title.
Yeah,
and you know, there's problems. So due diligence is very
important. Due diligence. Yeah. So very important, these details. And I'm going to just take this moment to thank you, Sam. Sam Miller of ColombiaInternational.co. As you can well tell, ladies and gentlemen, this is a gentleman who knows what he's doing. So if you're coming and you want to invest or you want to rent in Colombia, anywhere abouts in Colombia, get in touch. I mean, these guys are set up to answer your queries and to make sure you don't encounter the problem. So again, Sam Miller, ColombiaInternational.co. Really important. So thank you very much for being on the show, Sam.
All right, thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. This is Colombia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network. I've been Richard McCall. Bye-bye.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.